The Secret of Divine Civilization, cassette number 3, side 1, continuing from page 102.
By the all-glorious, I am astonished to find what a veil has fallen across their eyes and how it blinds them even to such obvious necessities as these. And there is no doubt whatever that when conclusive arguments and proofs of this sort are advanced, they will answer, out of 1,000 hidden spites and prejudices, on the day of judgment, when men stand before their Lord, they will not be questioned as to their education and the degree of their culture. Rather, will they be examined as to their good deeds. Let us grant this and assume that man will not be asked as to his culture and education. Even so, on that great day of reckoning, will not the leaders be called to account? Will it not be said to them, O chiefs and leaders, why did ye cause this mighty nation to fall from the heights of its former glory, to pass from its place at the heart and center of the civilized world? Ye were well able to take hold of such measures as would lead to the high honor of this people. This ye failed to do, and ye even went on to deprive them of the common benefits enjoyed by all. Did not this people once shine out like stars in an auspicious heaven? How have ye dared to quench their light in darkness? Ye could have lit the lamp of temporal and eternal glory for them. Why did ye fail to strive for this with all your heart? And when by God's grace a flaming light flared up, why did ye fail to shelter it in the glass of your valor from the winds that beat against it? Why did ye rise up in all your might to put it out? And every man's fate have we fastened about his neck, and on the day of resurrection will we bring it forth to him, a book which shall be proffered to him wide open. Again, is there any deed in the world that would be nobler than service to the common good? Is there any greater blessing conceivable for a man than that he should become the cause of the education, the development, the prosperity and honor of his fellow creatures? No, by the Lord God, the highest righteousness of all is for blessed souls to take hold of the hands of the helpless and deliver them out of their ignorance and abasement and poverty, and with pure motives and only for the sake of God to arise and energetically devote themselves to the service of the masses, forgetting their own worldly advantage and working only to serve the general good. They prefer them before themselves, though poverty be their own lot. The best of men are those who serve the people. The worst of men are those who harm the people. Glory be to God. What an extraordinary situation now obtains, when no one, hearing a claim advanced, asks himself what the speaker's real motive might be and what selfish purpose he might not have hidden behind the mask of words. You find, for example, that an individual seeking to further his own petty and personal concerns will block the advancement of an entire people. To turn his own water mill, he will let the farms and fields of all the others parch and wither. To maintain his own leadership, he will everlastingly direct the masses toward that prejudice and fanaticism which subvert the very base of civilization. Such a man, at the same moment that he is perpetrating actions which are anathema in the sight of God and detested by all the prophets and holy ones, if he sees a person who has just finished eating, wash his hands with soap, an article the inventor of which was Abdullah Buni, a Muslim, will, because this unfortunate does not instead wipe his hands up and down the front of his robe and on his beard, set up a hue and cry to the effect that the religious law has been overthrown and the manners and customs of heathen nations are being introduced into ours. Utterly disregarding the evil of his own ways, he considers the very cause of cleanliness and refinement as wicked and foolish. O people of Persia, open your eyes, pay heed, release yourselves from this blind following of the bigots, this senseless imitation which is the principal reason why men fall away into paths of ignorance and degradation. See the true state of things. Rise up. seize hold of such means as will bring you life and happiness and greatness and glory among all the nations of the world. The winds of the true springtide are passing over you. Adorn yourselves with blossoms like trees in the scented garden. Spring clouds are streaming, then turn you fresh and verdant like the sweet eternal fields. The dawn star is shining. Set your feet on the true path. The sea of might is swelling. Hasten to the shores of high resolve and fortune. The pure water of life is welling up. Why wear away your days in a desert of thirst? Aim high. Choose noble ends. How long this lethargy? How long this negligence? Despair, both here and hereafter, is all you will gain from self-indulgence. Abomination and misery are all you will harvest from fanaticism, from believing the foolish and the mindless. The confirmations of God are supporting you. The succor of God is at hand. Why do you not cry out and exult with all your heart and strive with all your soul? Among those matters which require thorough revision and reform is the method of studying the various branches of knowledge and the organization of the academic curriculum. From lack of organization, education has become haphazard and confused. Trifling subjects, which should not call for elaboration, receive undue attention to such an extent that students, over long periods of time, waste their minds and their energies on material that is pure supposition, in no way susceptible of proof. Such study, consisting in going deep into statements and concepts which careful examination would establish as not even unlikely, but rather as unalloyed superstition, and representing the investigation of useless conceits and the chasing of absurdities. There can be no doubt that to concern oneself with such illusions, to examine into and lengthily debate such idle propositions, is nothing but a waste of time and a marring of the days of one's life. Not only this, but it also prevents the individual from undertaking the study of those arts and sciences of which society stands in dire need. The individual should, prior to engaging in the study of any subject, ask himself what its uses are and what fruit and result will derive from it. If it is a useful branch of knowledge, that is, if society will gain important benefits from it, then he should certainly pursue it with all his heart. If not, if it consists in empty, profitless debates and in a vain concatenation of imaginings that lead to no result except acrimony, why devote one's life to such useless hair splittings and disputes? Because this matter requires further elucidation and a thorough hearing, so that it can be fully established that some of the subjects which today are neglected are extremely valuable, while the nation has no need whatever of various other superfluous studies, the point will, God willing, be developed in a second volume. Our hope is that a reading of this first volume will produce fundamental changes in the thinking and the behavior of society. For we have undertaken the work with a sincere intent and purely for the sake of God. Although in this world, individuals who are able to distinguish between sincere intentions and false words are as rare as the philosopher's stone, yet we fix our hopes on the measureless bounties of the Lord. To resume, as for that group who maintains that in effecting these necessary reforms, we must proceed with deliberation, exercise patience, and gain the objectives one at a time, just what do they mean by this? If by deliberation they are referring to that circumspection which the science of government requires, their thought is timely and appropriate. It is certain that momentous undertakings cannot be brought to a successful conclusion in haste, that in such cases, haste would only make waste. The world of politics is like the world of man. He is seed at first, and then passes by degrees to the condition of embryo and fetus, acquiring a bone structure, being clothed with flesh, taking on his own special form, until at last he reaches the plane where he can befittingly fulfill the words, "the most excellent of makers." Just as this is a requirement of creation and is based on the universal wisdom, the political world, in the same way, cannot instantaneously evolve from the nadir of defectiveness to the zenith of rightness and perfection. Rather, qualified individuals must strive by day and by night, using all those means which will conduce to progress until the government and the people develop along every line from day to day and even from moment to moment. When through the divine bestowals three things appear on earth, this world of dust will come alive and stand forth wondrously adorned and full of grace. These are, first, the fruitful winds of spring; second, the welling plenty of spring clouds; the third, the heat of the bright sun. When, out of the endless bounty of God, these three have been vouchsafed, then slowly, by his leave, dry trees and branches turn fresh and green again, and array themselves with many kinds of blossoms and fruits. It is the same when the pure intentions and the justice of the ruler, the wisdom and consummate skill and statecraft of the governing authorities, and the determination and unstinted efforts of the people are all combined. Then, day by day, the effects of the advancement of the far-reaching reforms, of the pride and prosperity of government and people alike, will become clearly manifest. If, however, by delay and postponement they mean this, that in each generation only one minute section of the necessary reforms should be attended to, this is nothing but lethargy and inertia, and no results would be forthcoming from such a procedure except the endless repetition of idle words. If haste is harmful, inertness and indolence are 1,000 times worse. A middle course is best, as it is written. It is incumbent upon you to do good between the two evils. This referring to the mean between the two extremes. And let not thy hand be tied up to thy neck, nor yet open it with all openness, but between these follow a middle way. The primary, the most urgent requirement is the promotion of education. It is inconceivable that any nation should achieve prosperity and success unless this paramount, this fundamental concern, is carried forward. The principal reason for the decline and fall of peoples is ignorance. Today, the mass of the people are uninformed even as to ordinary affairs. How much less do they grasp the core of the important problems and complex needs of the time? It is therefore urgent that beneficial articles and books be written, clearly and definitely establishing what the present-day requirements of the people are and what will conduce to the happiness and advancement of society. These should be published and spread throughout the nation, so that at least the leaders among the people should become, to some degree, awakened, and arise to exert themselves along those lines which will lead to their abiding honor. The publication of high thoughts is the dynamic power in the arteries of life. It is the very soul of the world. Thoughts are a boundless sea, and the effects and varying conditions of existence are as the separate forms and individual limits of the waves. Not until the sea boils up will the waves rise and scatter their pearls of knowledge on the shore of life. Thou, brother, art thy thought alone. The rest is only thew and bone.
This is the end of side one, ending near the top of page 110. Please turn the cassette.